News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President-elect Trump quickly filling his cabinet, nominating Wall Street veteran Scott Bessent for Treasury Secretary and more.
Trump choosing NFL veteran and conservative commentator Scott Turner for housing and urban development. Trump's first black cabinet-level pick this term. And in the healthcare space, Trump picking another Florida native, former Congressman Dave Weldon, to lead the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
ABC's Mary Alice Parks. Intense weather hitting both coasts this weekend. On the West Coast, an atmospheric river continuing to pummel communities. San Francisco, flood warning there. Dangers of mudslides getting more serious as the rain continues. Meanwhile, in the Northeast, first major snowfall of the season knocking out power, creating dangerous road conditions ahead of the holiday travel week. Over 165,000 pounds of ground beef have been recalled due to possible E. coli contamination. At least 19 people in Minnesota are sick, some hospitalized after eating the tainted beef at restaurants. This is ABC News. Tech gurus say Twitter's owner Elon Musk's association with our newly elected president is attracting new users on another social media platform, ABC's Rebecca Jarvis.
Blue Sky surpassing 20 million users with a flood of new people, including celebrities like Lizzo, Gabrielle Union, and Ben Stiller.
They're talking to real people, not bots.
We spoke to the CEO, Jay Graber.
There's some politics. There's also a lot of sports, fandoms, people talking about art, a lot of artists posting their art.
The platform looks a lot like Twitter, and that's no accident. Blue Sky was invented there in 2019, hoping to give users more control over their data. But since then, it's been spun off, and today it's its own independent app.
Hyundai, Kia, and Genesis recalling more than 200,000 electric vehicles over an issue that could cause them to suddenly lose power while driving. The car makers are blaming faulty 12-volt battery charging system for the failure. Dave Packer, ABC.
Max Inc. Radio.
This is Paige Kleber. The 11-year-old will be live in studio playing songs from her new album. I'm Terry Barr.
Saturday and Sunday night starting at 6. The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Wisconsinites overwhelmingly voted yes on a record number of school funding measures, according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum. That means people across the state are willing to increase their own taxes to fund their schools. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Voters favored a record number, 169 referendums, authorizing a record total of $4.4 billion in new funding for 145 districts. Denise Gomer Hutchison with the Wisconsin Public Education Network says districts are being forced to take their needs to the ballot box to fund gaps between prioritizing students and overdue bills.
The first responsibility of our public schools across the state is to educate children and to take care of the kids and the families that they serve every single day. So that means any available funds that public schools have, they put towards educating children. And so if that means a boiler has to be patched rather than replaced, that's what they're going to do.
Almost half of the state's 421 school districts passed a referendum in April or November. Hutchison blames the state for not adequately funding school priorities, from building maintenance to student mental health services. Regardless of whether taxpayers have children in public schools, she says the focus should be on providing every Wisconsin student with a quality education.
I want their experience in public schools to be as awesome as my 25 and 26-year-olds were.
The study found factors like inflation outpacing the state allocated per student revenue limits, the loss of pandemic aid, and staff competition in tight labor markets, all factors that contributed to the record number of referendums. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, highs near 42. Cloudy tonight, we'll see a low around 31. Mostly cloudy, 46 for Sunday. Sunday night, clouds and 36. For Monday, a chance of rain with a high near 42. Tuesday, mostly sunny, a high of 33.
It's 39 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us on Monday. We'll take a look back at what made news over the weekend and get you ready for Thanksgiving week. Tourist travel tips. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripes Cast. We are powered by Everlight Solar. Here's this week's episode. Folks, this week I am talking with comedian Yiannis Pappas. You know him from the History Hyenas podcast. You know him from the Yiannis Pappas Hour. He's got several specials out. You can find those on YouTube. He is hilarious. The specials, by the way, are Mom Love, Blowing the Light, and Let Me Be Yiannis. Also, his half-hour comedy special on Comedy Central, which is where I first saw him. But super fun dude. Great to have him on. Chit-chat about comedy. And yeah, it was a fun conversation. So that's coming up in just a moment. And also, I should mention, Yas is going to be in Milwaukee at the Improv December 6th and 7th. You can see him. Get your tickets now. And before we get to my conversation with him, we are still raising money for Doctors Without Borders. We've got their link in the show notes. You can check them out, doctorswithoutborders.com or at Doctors Without Borders. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, here is my conversation with Yiannis Pappas.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Where are you at right now?
I'm at my podcast studio.
Nice. Where's that at?
It's New York City.
Oh, got it. That's fun. How's New York these days?
I tell you, it's been, you know, in the 60s every day. I don't know what it's up there. Like, what's the weather been there?
Weather here in Wisconsin is like 55. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
I was just in Atlanta. It was colder in Atlanta than it was in Wisconsin.
That's crazy. Yeah. It's been, today's 63 degrees in New York and it's just been 60 every day and sunny. We actually have a drought. Like we haven't had rain in forever. And it's just been nuts. It's been nuts. It's been so warm. And I've been enjoying that, but also, you know, going like, what's going on with this climate? We haven't had a winter in 3 years. Like, we barely had a winter in 3 years.
I know. I mean, at some point you gotta be like, are we ever going to do anything about this, or are we just going to just business as usual? You know what I mean? Some point it's, you know, I feel like people are like, ignore the climate. It's better for the economy. Ignore the climate. It's better for the economy. But now, you know, the whole economy is just going to get flipped on its head. And then it's going to be like, all right, now we should probably fix the environment when it's kind of too late. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you got to get people believing in it first. I think that some Exxon, I think the CEO of Exxon finally said, like, we got to do something about it. So I think maybe it was him or one other gas company was like, we got to do something about this. And I was like, that is progress, at least.
Yeah.
That's progress.
It's progress. Even though those dudes like knew about it in the 70s and like actively went against it, you know, for decades. That's crazy. I don't know. Yeah. You would think that they knew that this was going to happen. But they were like, let's just push it off, keep making a lot of money. And then by the time it's happening, then maybe we'll figure it out then. That's just how we are as people, which is unfortunate.
I'd say we are as Americans too, especially just greedy little pigs. We're greedy little pigs. And yeah, he probably looked at his granddaughter one day and said, All right.
Yeah. Finally.
I want her to live. All right. Okay. You twisted my arm. It's 63 degrees in New York City. It snowed once in the past 3 years. Spain is, they got more rainfall. And, you know, it's funny too, when you talk to someone, you know, cause I'm not a scientist and none of us are scientists except for like 0.00001% of us. And those are the ones saying, hey, there's a problem. And then you talk to anyone else and you go like, yeah, you see what happened in Spain where they got more rainfall in a couple hours than they do every year. And they go, yeah. And you go, isn't that climate change? And they go, how's that global warming? You're going like, well, I think the atmosphere heats up. It heats up the ocean and the storms pull more moisture from the atmosphere and it makes the storm more intense. And they just go, what? It's go, yeah. Yeah, what? Because you don't know. So just let can we just let someone know something that we don't know? Like, you know, we've gotten to this era now where it's like, yeah, you don't study, you don't put thermometers in the ocean every day and didn't get a degree in this. Can we just let that guy do his job without you going and reading whatever paper you're reading that says it's not real? You know, just let people do their freaking job. I don't understand what the conspiracy theory would be about the environment.
Oh, I do, dude. I was up north, like, and they're like northern Wisconsin, whole economy in the winter depends on snowmobiling. Zero snow last year in some of these places. Places are going out of business. If there's one more year without snow, it's not going to be good for a bunch of these bars. Because that's like the sport of snowmobiling. You just drive this motorized death machine to a bunch of bars. I mean, snowmobiling's a blast, but the way some people do it, I'm like, oh God, I don't know. Watch out for deer, my guy. But I was telling somebody, they were bringing it up, and I was like, yeah, it's climate change. It's crazy. And they're like, I don't know about that. I think the sun is increasing its intensity and there's nothing we could do about this. And it's like, based off of what, Mike? How can you believe that, but not the thing that has been, you know, repeatedly scientifically backed up for decades? It goes into like, we as people, we just, I read this article that was talking about the psychology behind it. And it's basically like, facts do not help people change opinions. It was this thing of like, it's a feeling or an energy that helps people change opinions. And I was like, oh my God, we are screwed. You know,
that makes sense. When you think about it, that really makes sense. I think that's why music and comedy can be powerful, because you make someone feel something with your point. You can sort of disarm them from that part of their brain that, you know, has faith over facts, and you can slip a truth in there, you know, while you make them feel something, make them laugh. And same with music, you can make them feel good and you can say something. I guess that's why art's powerful.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Trojan horse for truth at its best, maybe, you know?
Yeah. That's a great way to put it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. At its worst, it's just a really bad joke, you know?
Yeah. But even worse, or just mean. It's, comedy's gotten a little mean. It's the worst it could get. Yeah. Like anything, humans, whatever great thing humans have, they will use it to be bad. They will go too far. It's just what we do.
Do you think that's like, do you think human nature at its best? So like, there's human nature at its best, human nature at its worst. Do you think it's just like we are sort of like a bunch of humans kind of more at our worst than we are at our best? But if we transferred to kind of being at our best, we could do it. We could like figure it out, you know?
I think we could. I think the way I view it, and I've been thinking about this a lot recently, is I feel like the Industrial Revolution happened and we still had these sort of, hunter-gatherer, then sort of agrarian kind of survival of the fittest brains. And we got all these machines and weapons, and we still were, protecting our territory like animals. And so we saw what we did with that. And we did some great things, like producing things quicker and all that. But then we had these massive wars with these new machines because we have these antiquated brains. And now, you know, that was the last big revolution. And then now we have the tech revolution, which is tantamount to the industrial revolution and how much of a paradigm shift it's caused and how revolutionary it is. And our brains are just behind. We're not evolved to deal with all this information and all this communication and be aware of all this news. And we're seeing the effect of that, you know, kids having mental health problems, people believing 100 different things at the same time, just people using it for bad. It's too much. And we're not equipped with it to deal with it yet. So I think the only hope we have is really looking inward. Like, people got to look inward and sort of figure themselves out, you know, with, you know, I don't want to say therapy, but that's one of the things, or whatever it is, just start figuring out who they are, what their subconscious motivations are, because now we have the, leisure to do it. Nobody's working like our grandparents used to work. So now it's time, like, all right, how do I become like a more evolved human being and a more caring, empathetic human being? And why do I do what I do? Who am I? What's going on? And just get control of their brains and subconscious motivations and insecurities and everything. 'Cause that's where it all comes from. I mean, you know, Hitler probably did what he did because he had some issue that was like subconscious. And then look at what happens. I'm just using him as an example. It's always about your mommy or your daddy or something. And then you go off and then you're probably on your deathbed and you're like, oh God, I did all that just because my mom said that in 1912.
Right.
What a waste.
Yeah. No, it's crazy how many people we will just really hurt because we are that hurt, you know. Hurt people. I don't know. That's a meme.
It's
or so something.
True. It's I know it's a cliche, but it's true. It's a projection. You know, you want other people to feel what you feel. And so you lash out and you don't even know what you're doing and you don't know why. And, you know, that's something I think if humans worked on, but I don't know if that could happen because that would take everybody individually doing that or that becoming part of the culture where we encourage that. And so maybe it can happen. I mean, maybe it will because everything else has been done. I mean, you know, this country was founded on looting, right? Our grandparents and parents and great grandparents came here to loot. They came here to get whatever they were like, all right, that place has riches over there. We're coming there to loot it and get all the money. Right. Everyone came over here. They looted. They just got money. And, you know, that's what this country was built on, just money and greed and selfishness. And we've done that. I think people are a little tired of that. Commercialization, over-commercialization. We're kind of done with that. Everyone still feels hollow. Now they got the internet. They can get food delivered to their house without moving a finger, a fully cooked meal. That still makes us feel empty. You rich people sit in their mansions. They're still empty. So maybe people are going to start figuring like, hey, maybe these Eastern Hemisphere people, you know, they knew something when they started meditating and doing mindfulness and all this stuff. And maybe we need to start incorporating a little bit of that into our greedy little American minds.
I think we're going to see it, man, because like with the, you know, you got all the AI stuff and that's like replacing a bunch of jobs. And if you listen to Elon Musk talk or whatever, he's saying like in 20 years, something like that. First of all, there's going to be more robots than humans. But then on top of that, all of our jobs, he said, like, we're not even going to have to work. And then whoever was interviewing was like, well, what are they going to do? Like, so many people get their like worth or whatever from working. And he was like, yeah, that's kind of a 20-year problem. I was like, well, why? Wait, can we back up? Like, why are we even doing this? Because like the AI stuff, there's so much damage to the environment, you know, like the amount of fossil fuels it takes. And then it's also killing jobs. So it's like, it seems like a good solution would just be, let's dial that back. Or if we're going to do the AI thing, let's do it to exclusively figure out the health stuff and the environment stuff. And then let people make their own toast, you know, but I don't know.
No, it's that I don't think anyone has an answer to that. That is good. And it's scary when you hear them go like, yeah, this is going to be a problem. And I don't know. And everyone just goes, and I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what people are going to do. It's like, yeah, it's going to be a problem. Nobody's going to. Now they got like self-driving cars already. They're doing the self-driving taxis. Once they do the self-driving trucks, they're already using machines in China at the docks. You know, that's a big issue here that the union's fighting against is using, you know, technology instead of dock workers. You're like, what are all those guys going to do? I mean, what's everyone going to do? You know, you can go to ChatGPT and draft up a legal document. Well, what are they going to, what are lawyers going to do? You know, it's just this stuff is going to get better. And then you're going like, you know, if computers are doing everything, what are we going to do? Are we just going to sit around and meditate? Are we just going to sell pics of our feet on OnlyFans and do podcasts? I mean, maybe we're just all going to become content creators and just create content for each other. I don't know. Porn and content. That's what seems to be. And betting. You see, you know how big gambling is right now?
Oh, my God.
They got more money than Hollywood because everyone's just gambling, putting their feet on OnlyFans or doing a podcast. And that's all we got.
Well, and they all fuel each other because where do you get the money when you lose all your money gambling? Well, feet picks, baby, selling socks, selling worn socks, you know.
Yeah. So that's the new American economy.
Yeah. Guy that I do some videos with, he had a DM come through, a dude asking if he could buy some of his old shoes. And I was like, oh, my God, dude.
Yeah.
It's a whole new world. I don't know what we're going to do.
Whole new world. It's all, yeah, everything is digital. And so I guess Biden brought back some manufacturing here for the chips. Maybe that'll be good, but I don't know. I don't know what this world's going to look like. And but hopefully we figure it out. But yeah, it seems like this environment thing is getting, this is 3 years in a row right now where you're going. And then everyone keeps telling me it's supposed to be a cold winter. I'm like, that's what they said last year. And like, we got like 1 week of snow and like 3 days under freezing or like a week. And that was it. I mean, when I was a kid, it was like freezing from, you know, you're up to, it's like from November, from the beginning of November all the way to like May, it was cold. And now it's like, it feels like it's spring right now. The weather's spring. And for right now, yeah, it's great. But I don't know what that means for the future.
Yeah. I mean, it's comfortable, but it's almost like a comfort you didn't earn, you know?
Yeah.
And you feel kind of bad about it, but
it's like doing coke. You feel high now and then, you know, tomorrow it's going to be really bad.
You know, you're going to be crying on your couch at 9 a.m. wanting to call your mom, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough one. Do you think that like, how do you think people are going to do it though? Really? Like, cause these things are so addicting. I feel like people like all their problems or whatever, like get dumped right into this just by scrolling. And then you just figure out either your biggest fear or you just kind of like, double down into like whatever thing here is telling you that life is okay, but it's all kind of just a lie. You know, I feel like we just got to like get outside more.
Yeah, we got to get outside. People got to go outside. The every comedian I talked to has gotten to the point with social media specifically, right? So it's, the internet is great for many things, like listening to long form talks like this is great, or, you know, meditation apps or information or learning something, or it's great. But social media is obviously designed to turn your brain into a mess, into like, it's made everyone into like a gambler, like the same brain chemistry as a gambler, where people going on there, you know, refreshing videos, looking how many likes they got, looking how many comments, and then you're reading comments and you're getting dopamine hits from like people you don't even know. And then people are saying bad things and then you're going, oh, I'm terrible. And then you're, it's just too much. And every comedian I've spoken to has come to the realization that it's bad. I guess they've come to the same realization as like 14 states that just filed a lawsuit against TikTok going like, hey, our mental health costs for youth are through the roof. And every kid that's coming in here is saying, you know, TikTok is screwing with their brain up. And so it's bad. Yeah, I think it's we all know it now. I think it's one of those things like cigarettes or whatever else that came out, you know, that we know at the beginning everyone was doing, it was marketing to us. And now everyone's going like, wait, this is, I feel really bad. And why do I feel bad? Oh yeah, because I was just disassociating for 6 hours in an imaginary world that's not real. and none of it's real. And my brain is all screwed and I'm like addicted, and they design it to be addictive. There was that haunting line in that that documentary about the social networks, about that guy from Facebook. It just haunted me when he said it. He goes, everyone's staring into the computer and they think they're using the computer. But what you don't know is there's a supercomputer staring back at you. It's like, nobody's more powerful than a supercomputer. There are it's just getting data on you, how long you stayed on this video, what you looked at. They know everything about you, and they're targeting you for marketing and trends and your information and location and everything, just so they can just inundate you with sales and put you in some sort of population group and market. It's just, we've all become raised and conditioned by machines, and what's missing in that is humanity and connection. So people have sacrificed connection for attention. Everyone's into attention now, and if you're trying to get attention, you're not trying to connect. And connecting happens outside. Nobody really connects on the internet. I mean, Manti Te'o had a whole fake relationship with a fat gay guy who he fell in love with, who he thought was a woman for like years. I mean, it's one of the funniest things. I mean, if that's not the best example, you know about that, right? The football player.
Yeah.
It's one of the, when you watch that documentary, you're going like, that's the internet. It's one big catfish. I mean, this kid was in love head over heels. And the whole time he was talking to just this gay guy who was just lying to him. And that's the internet.
Yeah. It's almost like that. You know, you see how it easily gets to that movie Her. You remember that with like Scarlett Johansson? It's like all these sci-fi movies that we made in like the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. They're all just coming true. Like, I think we got to stop making sci-fi movies, dude.
We don't need to. Yeah.
It's the blueprint. You know, we got to stop like imagining that. I think just be careful. Whatever sci-fi movie you make today, it's going to happen. So make a better sci-fi movie. Make one where the world doesn't end, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You're going like, even if you do something about aliens, you're like, well, the government's told us that they're there, so that's not even a sci-fi movie anymore. What is, it's all become reality. It's wild.
Yeah, it's wild. Is. I don't even know. How do you do it with, how do you do it sort of as a comedian? You know, like you've been, what year did you start doing comedy?
I started around 2000. I quit for a while, and then I started doing it full time in 2000. And I started again in 2005-06, and then I went full time in about 2008. So I had a couple of start and stop dates. So I've been doing it for 20 plus years overall.
Yeah, and you kind of see sort of the changes over time and being a comic. It used to be, you know, you work the craft, you work the door at a comedy club, you bark, do all that sort of stuff. And now it's like you just got to get a following, and then your comedy can be okay, you know, but then you can sell tickets, and then you better hope your comedy gets good or people probably won't keep buying tickets. But it's a weird dynamic of how it's changed.
Oh my God. It's completely different. It's crazy. It's crazy. A lot of good and a lot of bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There is, what do you think like comedy's role is in sort of like shaping culture? Have you seen that change over your time in comedy? Have you seen it change for better or worse?
I think for worse. I got to say that. I think it's just an objective observation. I think people used to watch a comedian for an hour and get the vibe. I remember Chris Rock's specials, just you could sort of feel the effect they had on the culture and just relations, tensions people had. It kind of eased everything. You could just feel it. It's people sat there and watched the whole hour. Now, you know, even when you talk to people at Netflix or whatever, nobody gets through 22 minutes. It's like 22 minutes at most, and it's everyone's watching clips, and your clip has to be sensationalized and increasingly more attention grabbing. So comedy's become, I think, a little more irrelevant in that it has an effect on the culture the way that it used to when comedians like George Carlin, and you'd watch that special and it would make you think, or just even someone who just made you laugh. You know, you sat there and you just soaked in his vibe for an hour, and you know, it was good. It was good for your brain. And Now it's like this scroll thing where you're like, you don't even know who the comedian is. You're just looking at the quick, you know, quick joke, and you just scroll past it. You don't even, oh, I saw it. And you just, it's just, it's disorienting. It's overwhelming. And yeah, the quality has gone down because whatever increases in quantity decreases in quality, and people are living in their own niche worlds driven by algorithms. So there's nothing that unifies us except hate.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President-elect Trump quickly filling his cabinet, nominating Wall Street veteran Scott Bessent for Treasury Secretary, and more.
Trump choosing NFL veteran and conservative commentator Scott Turner for housing and urban development. Trump's first black cabinet-level pick this term. And in the healthcare space, Trump picking another Florida native, former Congressman Dave Weldon, to lead the Centers for Disease.
On the Badger Sports Network, from Learfield.
Ron Day has become the NCAA's all-time career rushing leader.
This is your home for Wisconsin football.
Still loose. The Badgers cover it up. Touchdown, Wisconsin. There it is. And this game is underway with a bang. One more time, J.J. Watt. Touchdown, Wisconsin. Hello, Russell Wilson.
On Wisconsin.
70 yards, catch and run. Lee Evans, his fourth touchdown reception today.
Record-breaking run. Melvin Gordon, 4-0-8.
Picked off by T.J. Watt, and he is gone. The NCAA touchdown record belongs to Bell.
As the Badgers pour onto the field, they are Rose Bowl champions again.
10-10.
Badger football is on the air. Brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank is a proud partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. U.S. Bank. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC. And by UW Health Sports Medicine. Treating the Badgers. Treating you. Welcome to the Badger Pregame Show.
And welcome to Memorial Stadium. I'm Mike Heller. There's a little deja vu working here today. 1 year ago, it was at Camp Randall Stadium. The 5-5 Badgers met the 5-5 Cornhuskers playing for bowl eligibility. Wisconsin won in overtime. This year, both teams are 5-5 and again playing for bowl eligibility with two games remaining on the docket. A pair of second-year coaches, Matt Rhule and Luke Fickell, both have made in-season changes at offensive coordinator for Wisconsin. That was 6 days ago, moving on from Phil Longo. It's been a very interesting week following the Badgers after their 16-13 loss to top-ranked and undefeated Oregon. By the way, and you know this, Wisconsin has won their final two games, while they did so a year ago, going from 5-5 to 7-5 in time to visit with the voice of the Badgers, Matt LePay. They just peeled down the banner across the way that changes the consecutive sellout streak from 402 to 403 for today. But the hottest ticket is across the street at 7 o'clock tonight, where the get-in price, I was just talking to Andy Kendi, the former Madison television superstar. Andy's been in Nebraska for a long time. The get-in price across the street is closer to $400. The get-in price here today is about $75.
Wow. Little volleyball action. Yeah, the Huskers and Kelly Sheffield's Badger team. So, yeah, that's They're both pretty good at volleyball. Yeah. So, it's a big comeback, by the way, for the Badgers against Minnesota earlier this week. So, it's a big day.
Let's talk about what this week has been. Wisconsin has made that change at offensive coordinator. It's been the talk of the week. And now you've got two games to play. There are changes today. I think the one we'll see and you'll talk about a little bit from time to time is Wisconsin will huddle, something they haven't done. Otherwise,
it's more probably the messaging. That was the one thing that Luke Fickell talked about. And I know that wasn't one of the great press conference performances. We've been around for a lot of them, probably in that category. But the one thing that he did say was that it wasn't so much about what plays you're calling. It's the voices, the leadership, I think, was his. Well, I know it was his term, the leadership. So, I mean, you see this a lot, or you hear about it a lot, where you want those different voices, and certainly with the Huskers getting Dana Holgorsen there to call the plays, this will be his second game in that role. You know, a lot of experience with him. I don't know if it's you're trying to get a spark. I think the players, I watched them Tuesday, Wednesday. They looked fine in practice. Yeah. I haven't seen them not look great, you know, in terms of the energy and all of that stuff. But you're just trying to figure out a way to get a spark going. Both programs are, because they're like stacked barely on top of the other in points per game, and neither is very good. So you're trying to find a way to just get a little spark going and help your defenses out, because both of these teams in spotlight games have played winning defense. Nebraska at Ohio State, certainly the Badgers last week, but you're trying to find a way to get your offense to help those guys a little bit.
Many times over the years when we have talked before games, we talked about the mirror image that is Iowa and Wisconsin. Right now, the mirror image is in likely these two programs, right, with coaches
really
and everything else.
Yeah, it is. You're trying to break through. I mean, with Nebraska, this is the longest bowl list streak among Power Four programs, Nebraska, where clearly history tells us the ceiling has been higher here than Wisconsin's or any number of programs across the country. But they've been spinning their wheels. Year two for Matt Rhule. You get a very highly regarded five-star quarterback in Dylan Raiola. First half of the season, he was terrific. Second half of the season, those numbers are flipped. Touchdowns to interceptions. He's been under siege, though. He's taken a lot of hits this season. And Braden Locke is still trying to find that stretch of consistency where he can make some big-time throws. And then there are the oh-no throws as well. So it is. Yeah, these are two programs that are just trying to, if it's a confidence thing, whatever. But I think with both, it's a matter of from the neck up. You have to see something really big happen. You know, they all believe that they can make the big plays and win the big games. But until you do it, that's a tough thing to break through.
Let me steal something from Jason Benetti. He likes to take these pregame shots of an empty stadium and say the first person that comes to mind. When you look down at that big block N in the middle of this field in Memorial Stadium, who's that person?
Oh, good question. Boy, they've had so many. And Dominican Sue, for me, there's a little bit of recency bias there. Johnny Rogers, Heisman Trophy winner. But the first person really for me is probably Tom Osborne. Yeah. I mean, Bob Devaney is the guy who got it going. Barry played for him. But Tom Osborne, I think, you know.
He's Nebraska football.
Yeah, who was with. By the way, he called the plays, but he wasn't officially named the offensive coordinator there. He's told that story through the years. People always refer to him. You were the OC, and then I think he gave up on it. But he's like, yeah, he called the plays, but you did not have that title. So little known fact, I think, for Badger fans. But no, when you think of Tom Osborne, such a soft-spoken guy in interviews, but man, his teams are tough.
Oh my gosh,
so tough.
And a style of play that you knew what they were going to do, but it was innovative in its moment because they ran a lot of pitch option. And you talk about Amon Green and players like I Am Hip and Johnny Rogers and Mike Rozier. I mean, there were so many in the history of what this program has put out.
It is. And this place reminds, to me, this is at least the Big Ten's version of Green Bay.
Yeah,
because the fans are there through good times and bad times. And I know that the 403 consecutive sellouts, there's been some creative counting here and there.
Sure.
But the fact is, they love their Huskers. They love, you know, obviously volleyball, basketball has been on a bit of an upward tick. But it's about football here. And even in the tough years and the stretch of years that they're in, I would imagine this is going to be a very loud crowd here today.
You and Tausch will talk about it when you take over and we get closer to game time. But what is it that Wisconsin will have to do today to move that needle and finish a game? Both teams have had a hard time finishing.
Yeah, the consistent play. You always want to be able to run the ball, which could be a little tricky against this Nebraska defensive front. But however it is, just be more consistent on offense. Be able to sustain some drives. Last week, it started poorly, ended poorly with the quick possessions, three and outs, and then, you know, what we saw the last couple of possessions in the fourth quarter. You know, be able to play more than one good quarter of offense, to me. That's first and foremost. You hope the defense will continue to, you know, play well today as it did last week and not go back to what happened in the Iowa game a few weeks ago. But, I mean, for me, it's still, you know, just be more consistent offensively. We saw the impressive drive for the lead in the game against Oregon, but they just can't do that with any degree of regularity.
By the way, in Columbus, it's 14-7 Buckeyes at the half. I asked you this yesterday on my statewide show. We haven't seen either team in person this year, but are you surprised at that game or surprised in what you're hearing going on?
Not particularly. There was an unknown there. It's like yesterday I was saying, if Indiana can be competitive, who knows?
Yeah.
If it wins, then there's no issue here, no talking points. But if it loses in a competitive way, I would hope for their sake that they would still be into that playoff mix. If Ohio State pulls away and wins convincingly, then I'd probably be a little nervous. Yep. If I'm an Indiana fan because of the strength of schedule. But I think at least through two quarters in Columbus, they've proven that they are a big boy. We could talk about their schedule, yep, all we want, but they're going, it seems like, punch for punch with Ohio State at the Horseshoe. And for me, how is Indiana handling the environment? Is the moment going to be too big? And the answer is, well, not so far.
Very good. Matt LePay will take over in a bit. Wisconsin and Nebraska kickoff is set today for 2:30. Still to come on the Badgers pregame show, we'll check in on Badgers in the NFL and visit with sideline reporter Patrick Herb. By the way, UW Athletics proud to recognize the official products of Camp Randall Stadium, Brewpub, Lots and Lots of Pizza, Old Dutch Potato Chips, and Pepsi on Wisconsin. Coming up next, we'll hear about Nebraska football with radio host Ben McLaughlin. That's next. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
Odyssey Brands is a proud partner of UW Athletics and a supporter of our Wisconsin dairy farmers. We believe in using only the highest quality ingredients. 4 generations of cheese-making excellence goes into every batch of our Odyssey Greek yogurt and feta cheese. Check us out at odysseybrands.com.
At U.S. Bank, when they say they're in it with you, they mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows, and decision-making. They're in to help you through all of it. Because together they're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, copyright 2024, U.S. Bank.
We are experiencing an energy transformation. Wind and solar farms are being built. Coal is being phased out. But the wind doesn't always blow. The sun doesn't always shine. We need reliable energy available on demand. To keep our data centers, manufacturing plants, and homes all operating, natural gas electric generation is necessary for Wisconsin. It provides the bridge we need to a renewable energy future. Wisconsin Infrastructure Investment Now asks you to support natural gas.
Hi, it's Matt LePay, voice of the Badgers. On the field, the Badgers are always on the move. Off the field, that's where Evans Transportation comes in. As Wisconsin's 3PL, they move over 30,000 shipments a year right here in the Badger State. That's dedication to keep things moving here in Scotty. Evans is excited to support Badger student-athletes and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Find them at evanstrans.com. That's evanstrans.com. Go Badgers! Odyssey Brands is a proud partner of UW Athletics and a supporter of our Wisconsin dairy farmers. We believe in using only the highest quality ingredients. 4 generations of cheese-making excellence goes into every batch of our Odyssey Greek yogurt and feta cheese. Check us out at odysseybrands.com.
From the opening kickoff to the fifth quarter,
the defense comes through again.
This is Badger Football from Learfield.
It's Badger Football on WRCE, AM 1450, FM 107.7, part of the Civic Media Network. We're proud to bring you coverage of college football all season long, right here on WRCE Radio, on your Civic Media app, and also live online at WRCE.FM or WRCO.com. We now go live for today's coverage of Badger Football.
April showers bring spring deals at Fraser's Mercantile in Catawba, Wisconsin, where history echoes through antique hardwood floors and rugged steel ceilings.
Fire up the grill with Two River ribeye steaks. Bone in for just $7.49 a pound. Get hickory smoked thick-cut bacon 24-ounce pack for just $6.49. Plus sliced pepperoni and 8-ounce packs of salami for $2.49 each. Buy three and get one free. Wash it all down with 12 packs of honey Weiss for just $4.99. Complimentary 6-pack pudding packs while they last, just for stopping in during the month of April.
Discover all this and more at Fraser's Mercantile, home of unbeatable deals located on Highway 8 in Catawba, Wisconsin.
News from the center, WRCE.
My next guest is that we're kind of working on borrowed time where the weather is concerned. That is absolutely true. Wisconsin and Nebraska today, from Memorial Stadium. Similarities, the Huskers have lost four straight. The last three were one-score games. Wisconsin has lost three straight, including a three-point loss against top-ranked Oregon a week ago. Second-year head coaches, changing offensive coordinators in season, programs that have found the road back to significance to be bumpy. The series with the Badgers and Huskers, decidedly one-sided. The Badgers have won 10 straight, all nine games since the Freedom Trophy was introduced. Wisconsin is 11-1 against Nebraska since the Huskers joined the Big Ten, and the Badgers have won four straight in Lincoln. All that being said, as we welcome in Ben McLaughlin, host of the Nebraska Radio Network, these two teams have a ton in common right now, and somebody's going to be happy when they walk off the field today, and my guess is somebody's going to win it in the fourth quarter, which is going to seem strange on either sideline.
Yeah, it's interesting, this matchup, right? I mean, you laid the history out between these two teams, and I feel like so many times when Nebraska's playing Wisconsin, we talk about all the things that have kind of transpired in the matchup since Nebraska's joined the Big Ten. And that wasn't the case this week. It was Wisconsin handling their stuff in the building, Nebraska trying to handle their stuff in the building, and you mentioned the one-score games. Nebraska cannot get the proverbial monkey off their back with the one-score games, and that's been something that – you know, our fans have had to suffer through really since Scott Frost took over for Mike Riley's team. And even Mike Riley played a good Wisconsin team into overtime the year that Nebraska was up in Madison. So it's been an interesting week, I think, on both camps and perhaps a little bit different of buildup between when Nebraska and Wisconsin normally play.
Two things I was convinced of, Ben. One, when Nebraska hired Matt Rhule, that was the answer. Because Matt Rhule's had collegiate success, he's very successful at Baylor. And I was also convinced, and still am, on both sides, that the head coach hiring is the right one. So let me ask you about Matt Rhule at late in year two, what you've seen.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly says the right things. I think you said it, program builder. You know, he believes in his process. He believes in instilling, you know, the culture within the walls before the culture between the white lines. You know, you can't have one without the other. And so that's been a process that he's been working on, perhaps a little bit slower process. It didn't necessarily seem that way when Nebraska was 5-1 and, you know, was taking it to Colorado, who's, you know, on a roll right now here on this field, you know, to start the year. That's not certainly something we expected. We knew the back half of this schedule was going to get significantly tougher, playing at Indiana, playing at Ohio State, playing at USC. Obviously, the Badgers and the Hawkeyes, always tough tests. So we knew the back half of the schedule was going to be a lot more difficult. But fans here have been waiting patiently for a long time for this to turn. And even every time it seems like some life starts to get breathed back into this program, it seems like one step forward, two steps back. And so, you know, he's saying the right things. I think the players are bought in, but at a certain point, it comes down to competing and making plays when the games are on the line.
Ben, Dylan Raiola has 11 touchdowns and 10 interceptions this year. First half of the season to the second half has been dramatically different. Obviously, there's non-conference games in there that a little softer schedule-wise. But what have you seen in his development, or what has missed in the second half of this year?
How much time we got in this segment?
I
feel like there's a lot that's kind of playing into this. Number one, I think there's a lot on his plate. I mean, Nebraska, first and foremost, isn't helping him out in the running game.
Yeah.
So that's certainly putting a load of pressure on him. They're having him, you know, go through progressions, and granted, this is his first year of major college football, so this is a big adjustment for any player, let alone at quarterback. He's breaking in all new receivers. These are all guys that haven't been here before. It's not like they've had several years in the offense. And guys like Banks and guys like Nair, guys like Ja'Cory Barney, arguably his three top targets, are all new to the program. So they're trying to figure this out together. You mentioned the offensive coordinator. That's been a bit of an issue. And then the other problem with Nebraska specifically in their last home game against UCLA, they fell way behind. And so now he's having to chuck it 30 to 40 times. And I don't know that that's a great recipe for success for an 18-year-old kid who's just trying to figure this out. And that's the main difference from Dylan early, is they were able to protect him. He was able to take the checkdowns. He was able to do all these different things. And he's been a little banged up. He's had a sore ankle. That's certainly hindered his footwork. He took a nasty shot in the UCLA game in his back. We weren't sure he was going to play against USC. He didn't look great against the Trojans. So there's some circumstances around Dylan that's led to this inconsistency in play. But I think he's just having to drink from the fire hydrant right now. And, you know, I think the water's getting a little bit the best of him right now.
Ben, two final thoughts. One on Dana Holgorsen and what you've seen in his brief time. Refreshing, you said the press conference that he did this week was the talk of the town.
Sure was. I mean, blunt, saying what every fan is thinking. Yeah. It's strange walking by him on the plane in L.A. going, you're in Husker red? This is weird, you know? But, yeah, he's been the talk of the town, and I think he's, you know, to his own extent, he's having to escalate his process really quickly to learn an offense and prepare a game plan. So we'll see what he's got for the Badgers today.
And then what you sense, I mean, we could go right to the fourth quarter, but what you sense the difference is today?
I think it's going to be whatever ground game gets going. You know, I think when you look at Wisconsin's successes, not just this year, but throughout its history, it's when that running game gets going and they can lean behind that offensive line and really start in that second half, the fourth quarter that you mentioned, putting pressure on teams. And for Nebraska, do they have a running game? You know, and can they get anything going to lighten that load from Dillon? Anything you can do to take some off his plate would be huge. But I don't know what kind of offense we're going to see under Dana Holgorsen. This is only week number two. So it'll be interesting to see if there anything diversifies than what we saw last week against the Trojans.
Ben McLaughlin, one of the hosts on the Nebraska Radio Network, thank you. It's always good to visit with you. Appreciate it.
You as well. Thank you so much.
Wisconsin and Nebraska, they'll kick it off today at 2:30. We'll check on Badgers in the NFL, take a look around the scores in the Big Ten, including from the Horseshoe, when we come back. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
Hey, Badger fans. It's Tyler Van Dyke, quarterback for Wisconsin football. Join us in taking the Badgers to the next level. With a Camp Randall Club membership, you can help us achieve greatness on and off the field. In return, you'll get exclusive experiences, inside access, and opportunities to connect with student athletes like never before. Camp Randall Club has its vision set on victory. Do you? Visit CampRandallClub.com today to join.
It is caught. Touchdown, Wisconsin!
Finding the right gift is getting tougher than ever. And who's got the time? That's why more people are shopping online every year. But where do you start? How about the taste of the holidays? Usinger's famous sausage. If you've ever received a Usinger gift box, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They ship anywhere in the continental U.S., and they come in a variety of prices and styles. Go ahead, be a holiday hero, the one who sends the perfect gift. Visit Usinger.com. That's Usinger.com, or Google Milwaukee's famous sausage.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners, making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win. Ho-Chunk Gaming
FS Envision Seed Corn and FS High Soy Soybeans provide best-in-class traits and genetics that perform. In farming, bushels matter to your bottom line. Our field-proven products deliver high yields year after year. Get the seed you need from the people you trust. Contact your local FS Envision and High Soy retailer or visit fsseed.com to learn more.
The Cardinal and White play here.
More fullback low for the Wisconsin Badgers, and the lead is back to 20.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about five times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Hear your favorite Wisconsin Badger sports broadcast right here on WRCE.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Mike Heller with you from Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska. 403rd consecutive sellout happening today. Right now it's 58 degrees and sunny on the way to a game time high temperature of 60 degrees today. The Badgers and Nebraska kick off at 2:30. Time now for our Minute with Mac, presented by Evans Transportation. Customized logistics solutions to keep your business moving. And here's Matt LePay.
Time now for our Minute with Mac, presented by Evans Transportation. Customized logistics solutions no matter the shipment size, as we visit with Athletics Director Chris McIntosh. In Luke Fickell's radio show earlier this week, he talked about being addicted to the fight, which is what you would want with any coach or any employee. When you're going through the process of getting, you know, of bringing Luke here, or anybody, any other coach, even an administrator for that matter, how much of that can you get a feel for when you have those conversations?
Well, I think it's important to really assess, you know, what they're made of. The best way to do that is to, you know, get an understanding of what they've been through. And, you know, first and foremost, you want coaches and staff that care about the kids, care about to be in the business for the right reasons. But then as you kind of dig down, you want to find people that are made of the right stuff. And, you know, usually when we're making a change, it's because, you know, we've got some building to do. And, you know, that doesn't happen typically overnight. And you have to push through some tough stuff. And you want to make sure that you have the right person that's made the right way to do that. And I couldn't be more confident that we've got the right person in football and across all of our sports to do that. But that's really the trick. That's really the key trait. And usually you got to find somebody, the person who has those traits has usually gone through some things in their life and grown from it.
And that's the thing that I think people need to, or maybe I have to remind myself about that with Luke. I mean, it wasn't always a smooth road at Ohio State as the interim in 2011, as an assistant, first year at Cincinnati. But in the long run, for your perspective, and maybe more importantly his, it's not a bad thing in retrospect. Okay, it got tough. Here's how you got through it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, if I think about my own life, I think if we think about our own experiences, you know, as difficult as those moments are when you need to push through and grind and evolve and adapt, you learn and you become stronger from it. And it's usually only with perspective or hindsight that you realize that some of those tougher moments are probably the more valuable ones that you've been able to experience.
All right. That is Athletics Director Chris McIntosh, and that is this week's Minute with Mac.
All right. Thank you, Matt. We will check around the Big Ten in a few minutes, but before we take a break, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
A little bit later on, we'll check around the Big Ten, including that game in Columbus that's at the break. Ohio State, well, I'll tell you now, Ohio State leads Indiana 14-7 at the break there. When our pregame show continues, our Badgers in the NFL update, which is brought to you by Cunis Auto RV Group. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
Hear that? That's Jones All-Natural Sausage cooking. It's almost ready to be enjoyed in your favorite breakfast sandwich or as a side with eggs. And that is Jones Dry-Aged Bacon with flavor you won't find anywhere else. You can really taste the difference our dry-aging process makes. I'm Philip Jones, and quality ingredients and attention to detail are how we've been making breakfast better since 1889. Try Jones, a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. And go Badgers!
On the football field, the skilled players get paid the most. The same is true in construction. Some of the most skilled players building our roads, solar farms, and stadiums are the men and women of the Wisconsin Operating Engineers. If you're ready to step up to a job where you can earn more without college debt and operate equipment like cranes, excavators, bulldozers, and drones, you're ready to join our team today at join139.com.
Every Qdoba catering order is a fresh-made Mexican feast of hand-smashed, flame-grilled, sliced, diced, and sautéed flavors perfect for any occasion. Whether you're planning your office's tortilla Tuesday, hosting a post-game party for your intramural dodgeball team, or trying to bring in a dinner for your PTA meeting that's so good, it'll bump your kid up to an A- in Spanish class. Qdoba Catering. Fresh, hot, easy, delicious. Order today.
Hey Badger fans, the 2024 football season is here and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the touchdown celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin football games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
JJ and TJ.
Picked off by TJ, what?
Russ and Barry.
Hello, Russell Wilson.
This is Badger Football from Learfield.
Landowners, your timber property is a valuable asset. Contact Meister Log and Lumber Company to help you manage that asset. Rely on Meister Log and Lumber Company to help you manage your property's timber value for now and years to come.